This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I'm honored to welcome to the program Senator Ken Stolle, live on the phone in somewhere in the traffic in Tidewater. How are you doing, Senator?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking some time to join us. I know you are literally on the way home to spend the weekend with your family, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us. Big news last night out of the Finance Committee. Give us some background and tell us exactly what happened.
Well, I think that there's been an effort between some of the House leadership and the Senate leadership with the Republican Party to try and come up with some package that'll bring some transportation dollars to Virginia. Last year, we went into session, and the Senate had its proposal, and the House had its proposal, and we sat at a table for 10 months, looked across the table at each other, and nothing happened, and we didn't bring any transportation dollars. So with the compromise package, we were hopeful that we could do something. Last night, Senate Finance, the compromise bill was killed on a split vote. And another bill that was very similar to what the Senate did last year was reported out. So it was unfortunate because I think that the bill that Senator Norman and I had co-patroned would bring some relief to Virginia's transportation problems. Now, the good news is that 3 weeks in a General Assembly session is an eternity. Actually, I believe that the action taken last night by the substitute was not germane and violates our constitutional requirements for germaneness and the single object rule and the bill being contained in the title. And so I have every reason to believe that on Tuesday, when the bill is considered in the full Senate, that the lieutenant governor will be asked to make a decision as to whether or not it's germane, and he will probably rule that it will not be. I don't want to predict his ruling, but I don't see how he could determine that it's germane. So the bill that was reported out will probably be killed as a result of not being germane, and then it'll be up to us to try and revive the compromise package as we go forward.
Now, just to fill folks in, you and some other leadership in the Senate and the House had put together a Republican compromise bill on transportation that a lot of the leadership in the Senate and the House were happy with. You took it into the Finance Committee yesterday, and Senator Chichester basically threw it out on its ear.
That would be an accurate way to describe it.
and his alternative was a 5% gasoline sales tax, which doesn't this take us back to where we were last year?
It does, and in fact, on the regional plans, there is a penny sales tax, and on the statewide plan, there was a nickel on the gas tax, and there are some other fees that were associated with it. But for all intents and purposes, it's the same posture that we were in 12 months ago. And it's just not going to bring any transportation dollars to Virginia.
Virginia State Senator Ken Stolle is our guest this afternoon on Charlottesville Right Now. Before we go to the phones, we do have a call. But before we do, I wanted to ask you, can you respond? A lot of folks are concerned with the compromise plan that you helped put together that would draw about $250 million out of general fund revenues. And everybody's worried that it's going to take money away from hospitals and public safety and schools. And can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, that is a concern that I have, too. We've always been concerned about draining money away from core services for transportation. That's why in the compromise package, we fixed the amount that would be transferred over to $250 million. That is a significant amount of money. But when you consider that this year the governor has put in $500 million of general fund into the transportation, a couple years ago we put in $800 million. Last year we put $339 million in there. It's not an extremely high amount based on our past performance. performance. And so we've got a responsibility every year to balance the needs of the Commonwealth. And if at some time in the future it became impossible or not practical to transfer that amount of money, we have the ability in the general fund not to transfer that amount of money if it's needed elsewhere. But I'll give you another example. Last year we committed $250 million a year to cleaning up the bay, and I would suggest that the transportation is just as significant of a core service as the cleaning up the environment and providing other services. I mean, you know, for God's sakes, our emergency equipment people, our first responders in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads have difficulty providing services because of transportation problems.
We're talking with State Senator Ken Stolle of Virginia Beach. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 977-1070. Dr. Sandy is on the line in Charlottesville. Sandy, thanks for the call. You're on with Senator Stolle.
Thank you very much. Senator, a large part of the problem is that growth has exceeded infrastructure. Wouldn't you agree?
Growth has exceeded what?
Infrastructure, our ability to keep up with roads, And other forms of infrastructure.
First off, I would suggest to you that to keep up with growth, the responsible thing to do is on a periodic basis make sure that we're dedicating enough resources to infrastructure, transportation, and other things, and we haven't done that. Typically, there's been an increase in transportation funding every 20 years since 1923, and this is the first time we've gone over 20 years without an increase in transportation funding.
Yes, exactly. Well, there must be a way that we could estimate, perhaps regionally, what the marginal cost in infrastructure is for the next single-family dwelling, for example, that's going to be built. You know, everything from roads to maintenance to bridges to fire and rescue to police and so forth. Every new structure that's built that results in growth increases the infrastructure costs, correct?
That's correct.
But why would it not be logical to estimate that marginal cost and say, take 5 years' worth of that marginal cost and put that into the building permit? In other words, make the increase in growth, and I'm not making a value judgment as to whether growth is good or bad,
right,
but shift the cost of the growth to the party responsible for increasing the infrastructure.
Well, in essence, I think both bills did a little bit of that. What you're talking about is what most people refer to as impact fees.
Yes.
And to try and determine or at least assess a little bit of the cost of the growth to the growth itself. The compromise package did that by way of having some impact fees in the high growth counties throughout the state, primarily in Northern Virginia. And in addition to that, it had a grantor's tax component that every time a house was sold, you know, a certain amount of dollars were transferred into roads and things of that nature. The bill that Senator Chichester and Senator Potts put out had a similar component, but didn't have any of the land use issues like the impact fees or the controlled growth issues.
Yes, sir. Well, I would just propose to you that the most perhaps practical way to do that might be to embed it in the building permit, which already is required. In other words, I don't see why selling your house to someone else would result in that impact fee, because you're not really impacting the infrastructure size, whereas creating another single-family dwelling or another apartment building would. Now, that cost inevitably would be passed on to whoever buys that, but to me, it seems to me the responsibility for that, not exclusively, but should be more on the people moving into Prince George's County or whatever than the people who already live there.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and that's what impact fees are all about. Before they issue the zoning or the building permits, they assess some impact fees, not necessarily based on individual units, but on subdivisions and approval of rezoning.
Senator Ken Stallia, Virginia Beach, our guest, and perhaps, and Dr. Sandy, thank you for the call. Are we getting to the point, Senator, where we're going to have to see perhaps an increase in impact fees because Richmond can't deliver on the revenues for helping us do that ourselves, and we're going to have to come up with the money, be creative, and come up with the money in other ways?
Well, one of the problems with impact fees is that Virginia's a Dillon Rule state, and the local governments don't have the ability to impose those unless Richmond says yes. And so that's one of the reasons why the impact fees were included to the degree that they were in the high-growth counties in Northern Virginia in the bill, the compromise bill, that represents the efforts by the Republican leadership.
Senator Ken Stallia, our guest, we've got just about a minute or two left, but before I let you go, if we could change gears, we'll certainly be following transportation, but you also have been doing a lot of work this session with the retirement system for state and local public safety officers. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Virginia has the second lowest retirement benefits for law enforcement officers, and that includes firefighters and primarily most of your first responders of any state in the nation. In addition to that, we probably are, I think the last time I checked, we were second in the highest number of police officers killed in the line of duty this year. I'm a former police officer, and I have to admit that I'm kind of prejudiced towards the work that they do because I'm very proud of them and recognize the value of their work. So I've been very supportive of increasing the benefits for police officers and first responders and retiring. And I think we just passed the bill out of the Senate today. If not today, I think it gets passed out Monday. We passed it out of the Senate Finance Committee yesterday. So what we're waiting on is the House, and I think that the House is going to come up with an agreement to increase the benefits for police officers.
Well, I applaud you on that work, and thank you for that. I'm in total agreement with you on every point you just made. And too often these folks are underpaid, and certainly whether it's on the job or during retirement, I applaud any effort to reward them more for the work that they do.
Oh, I agree with you. I think our very safety is based on the ability of the law enforcement community to serve us. And having been in that job, it's not a job that you're going to get rich in, and it's not a job that trains you to do a lot of other things. And so the least we can do is provide a good retirement system for
them. Senator Ken Stallia, thank you, sir, for spending some time with us, and we hope you have a great weekend with your family and continued success in the session this year.
All right, well, thank you very much, and I apologize for being on the cell phone. I'm getting a lot of feedback, but I hope your listeners could hear.
Absolutely, not a problem at all. Senator Ken Stallia of the 8th District in Virginia Beach. Let's take a quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.